We've been looking at a journey, and we've been going on that journey, looking to go on that journey, an adventure together. And that journey is a discovery of the spiritual realms, because we are a spirit. And in that journey, we're looking to discover that that realm of the spirit is in us, within us. The kingdom is within us. It's around us, and it's also in the heavenly realms. And we're going to learn on this journey to engage in all of those. And what I've discovered in my personal journey with God is that there are two main pathways that we can follow to engage that spiritual realm and to engage heaven and to engage what's going on the inside of us in reality. And we're going to learn how to do that. Now, the first pathway is a pathway of relationship, and that leads to a deeper intimacy with God. It's a pathway that flows from the inside out. So the presence of God in us wants to flow out through us and around us to touch the world around us. Just like when Jesus was here physically, he touched people all around him every day with healing, with wholeness, with salvation, with deliverance. He touched people's lives. Now, he has gone back into heaven and he's released the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit and the Father and Jesus have come to live in us when we open up our spirit to him. We call that being born again of the Spirit, being born again of the kingdom. So within us then, when we have that experience of God, we have the presence of God. Now, that does not want to stay locked up in us. It wants to flow out of us. And it flows through the gateways of our spirit, soul, and body to the world around us. And we need to learn how to do that. But there's also another pathway that we need to follow, and that's the pathway of responsibility. And that leads to greater kingdom rulership, authority, and power. Because Jesus said, the kingdom has come. Now, the kingdom is where he rules and reigns. And therefore, very beginning, God gave a mandate to Adam and Eve, the first people, and he basically told them, I'm going to bless you, so I'm going to equip you, and I want you to be fruitful and to multiply and fill the earth, subdue it or overcome that which is in an obstacle to that process, and have dominion. In other words, rule. Rule under my authority. So we need to learn what that responsibility is so we can rule. And that basically flows the other way. We start here and then we go into the realms of heaven, and we do that by presenting ourselves as a living sacrifice and giving our lives to God so God can use us on a daily basis. Because Jesus said, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. So we need to know what it is in heaven. And we get a part to play in heaven to see heaven manifested on earth. Now, over the last few weeks, we've been looking at what we need to do to prepare for that journey. And we've looked at faith and knowing that we need to walk by faith and not by sight. Some basic truths that we are a spirit, soul, and body, and other things. And last time we looked at the language of the spirit and how God communicates with us, how we communicate with him, how we can actually engage with those realms of the spirit, the unseen realms that are around us. And today we're sort of coming to what I'll call base camp. This is where we're going to practice and learn and grow. And today we're going to look at part of the journey map, where we're going. Because in a sense, it's like if we're on a journey, it's great to have a map. That map will help us keep on track where we're going. So at base camp, over the next few weeks, we're going to learn how to build our spirit, engage with our spirit, understand who we are spiritually, engage with the thoughts of God, engage with the gift of tongues so that we can build our spirit and have a language of the spirit to use to communicate with God. We're going to learn how to activate the eyes of our heart, our imagination, because God has given us our imagination to communicate with him, and he uses that to project things so that we can see him and hear him and feel him. And we're going to look at opening the eyes of our spirit as well. But today we're going to look at this sort of journey map. And this picture of spirit, soul, and body is one which is going to be a real key to get hold of. And in our spirit, there is the presence of God. And in that process, we're going to learn to see the presence of God flow from the inside of us and flow out of us to touch the world around us. So we have a spirit, a soul, and a body. And if you look down on top of that, it's like heaven is connected to our spirit, and then our spirit is connected to our soul, and then the body, and then around us to the world around us. And there are so much unseen things around us that we need to learn how to see. And God is going to teach us how to do that. So everything needs to flow from the inside out. So we're connected to heaven, and then heaven can be flowing through us, around us. But we have to see those gateways in our spirit, soul, and body open. Because if nothing is open, nothing flows. So God wants to help us understand what it is to relate with him intimately, to know him, to know his voice, to know how he speaks to us individually, and then allow that knowledge, just like Jesus did. He only did what he saw the Father doing. So he had a relationship with the Father, with God, that showed him what the Father wanted to do through him, and then he cooperated, and he did amazing things, miracles, signs and wonders, amazing things. And God has got amazing things for us to do as well. So today, looking at base camp, from base camp, the first thing we're going to engage is our spirit. And our spirit flows from the river of life. Now, the river of life was in the garden originally, and it said it went into the garden that God created for man and then flowed out. Now, our life is like that garden now. So the river of life is in us, and it's supposed to flow out of us to water the world around us. And it's a source of our life. And that river also comes out of heaven, and we can follow it back. So we can follow it into the heavenly realms, and we can also follow it into the unseen realms around us as well. But we are the sort of the point where heaven and earth interacts and intersects. And that's what we're going to learn to follow. So in our spirit, there is a place where God is. And it says in Revelation that, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. Whoever hears me knocking effectively and opens that door, I'm going to come in and I'm going to have fellowship and relationship with you." So it's absolutely imperative on this journey that we learn to open that door every day. So that the presence of God, his rule, his kingdom in us, doesn't stay locked up in that place, but flows out. And there's a passage in the Old Testament in Ezekiel 47 that talks about the river of the Spirit flowing from the temple, because we're now a temple of the Holy Spirit, and it flowed out. It started ankle deep, and then it got a bit deeper to the knees, then to the loins, and then it was so deep. And that river brought life wherever it went. And ultimately, that's God's desire for us, that we would bring life wherever we go. That people would be able to engage with God through us wherever we go. But it has to flow. And so the first thing we learn is to open that first love gate and to engage with the presence of God. And in John 4 and John 7, it talks about that river. And if first of all, it talks about drinking living water. That living water, when we drink, and it's talking of the Spirit, it's talking of life, when we drink it, it becomes in us a source of life, a fountain, a flow. And if we continually engage in that source, then that source, according to John 7, becomes a river flowing. So it's great to have a drinking fountain that we can drink and get the source of life to help us every day experience the difficulties, face the things of life, and know that we've got someone who is with us, who's alongside us to help us, to guide us, to direct us, to teach us, to lead us into that which God has for us. But we need to learn that it isn't just a fountain, it needs to become a river. And so we'll learn how to open that and see that river flowing out through. And so our spirit also has around it certain gateways, and we need to learn to open those gateways and see that river begin to flow through it. Also in our spirit, there is like the seat of government of our life, if you like. Who's in charge? And because God has given us free will, we have the choice of who's in charge. Now, most of us have been in charge of our own life and not made too good a job of it. So ideally, the best thing to do is to surrender control of our life, the throne of our life, to God. And as we do that, he will then engage those gateways and begin to flow out. So we can open them and make Jesus Lord of those gates. So the gateways of hope and faith and revelation and intuition and prayer and fear of God, reverence, it's all summed up in one major thing, worship. Now, we tend to think of worship as singing to God. And part of it is singing, but actually worship is about being obedient to God and surrendering to God. Worship is what they did when they came before a king and they knelt down. And so when we learn to kneel down before God in our own spirit and say, God, I surrender to you, and surrender all these gateways, then the flow of life can come through us to engage the world around us. And so that throne is ours. But if we give it to God, then those gateways become active and we can invite God to open those gateways. And also, we get to be trained to actually rule our life correctly. And so if we make Jesus Lord of our life, he gets us to sit as a friend and he begins to tell us things about our life. He begins to, as friends, he begins to reveal things about our lives and about who we are and our destiny and what he's called us to do as friends. Because friends hang out together and friends share things with one another. And so if we say, Jesus, you're Lord of my life, he doesn't come to lord it over us. He comes to be friends with us. And so that process grows. And as we learn to be friends of God and faithful to do the things he's showing us, then what he does then is he makes us lords. And so he gives us greater authority in our lives. And literally, his throne is like a king. Now, ultimately, in the process, he wants us to be his children and sons. And sons are joint heirs with Jesus who have authority in heaven and earth. And so when he is our father, he then begins to father us as sons. And he begins to teach us what it is to be a son and then to administer the kingdom from a place of sonship. But it's a process and a journey. And so we start off by surrender, and he raises and elevates us. You know, it says in the New Testament, it talks about that if we humble ourselves before God, he will exalt us. So this is a process where we humble ourselves and say, Jesus, you're Lord, so that he can exalt us into lordship, kingship, and sonship. But it is a journey, and we will learn on this journey how to do that. Also in there, there's another thing. There's a little picture there of a yoke. Now in Matthew 11, 28, it talks about coming to Jesus and finding rest, finding that place of rest and yoking ourselves to him. Well, that means we join ourselves to him so that he can be with us on our journey and he can set the path. Now, a yoke is what they put on oxen who pulled the plow in those times. And so they usually had a lead oxen who knew the ropes. And when they wanted to train a new oxen, they would put a young oxen with a more mature ox, if you like. So they then together would plow the field, but the younger one would learn from the older one. So what we're doing is we're learning to yoke ourselves to Jesus so he can lead us. And that brings us into a place of peace and rest. So we don't have to be concerned about where we're going or what we're doing, because we're in a place of rest and peace with him. And it says, seek first the kingdom of God in Matthew 6:33, and his righteousness, his way of being and doing, and everything else gets sorted out. And in the previous verses leading up to that, it says, don't worry, about six times. Don't worry, don't be anxious. So when we enter into this place of rest, we do not need to worry or be anxious because he is in control, because we've surrendered the walk of our life with him. So we learn to be one. And in 1 Corinthians 6:17, it says, he who is joined to the Lord, and this process is where we join ourselves to the Lord, becomes one spirit with him. So it's like his life and our life become so joined that they flow out together to the world around us. So we're going to learn how we do that. Whoops. Now, in this diagram here, and this is part of the journey, our spirit has these gateways and doorways in them. And what we need to do is invite Jesus to stand in those gateways and teach us about them. So fear of God, reverence, prayer, faith, worship, hope, revelation, intuition. They're all the names of our spiritual senses or abilities. And as Jesus stands in those gateways with us, he will teach us how to function. Now, some of us may function really well in revelation. And we have visions and we have dreams and we have the words of God that come to us. Some actually function better in intuition and we have feelings and impressions of God. But what we need to do is open those gateways and we need to learn to let our worship flow. But the problem is that we have a battle to face. Everything in our life has come from the outside in. And it is shaped how we feel, how we think, how we act, how our knowledge of the world around us has come is outside in. Through what we've seen, what we've heard, what we've tasted, what we've touched. Those physical senses have led things onto the inside of us that have shaped our lives. So alongside that, there are things called familiar spirits which know us and are assigned to our lives, and they look to hinder and block that flow. And so outside of those gates, when we look to open our spiritual gates, some people begin to see pictures of those gates, and sometimes they appear that they're blocked or they've got chains on them or they're full of brambles and you can't get at them. And you start to see. Now, the reality is that's our spirit and they're our spirit gates and we have the right over them to open them. But the familiar spirits within our soul project images to try and stop us. They try and fool us to think, well, we can't have revelation. We can't operate in intuition. That our spirit is really not very active. And so they try and block it. So we have to deal with those familiar spirits so that there is a flow going. And then we can engage in our soul. And our soul is also made up of different attributes, different senses, if you like, abilities. Conscience, which is there to guide and direct us. Imagination, which is there for God to speak and use so that we can see and be creative. Reason, so that the thoughts of God and our thoughts come in agreement. Mind, where our subconscious and our active conscious mind begins to work together, emotions and will. Now, part of our problem is that because of what we've received on the outside, that there are lots of things that have affected those areas of our soul and have damaged them or blocked them or hurt them in various ways. And so we are often affected by, again, familiar spirits, which bring guilt and shame. They make us feel bad about ourselves. Anyone had any of that? You know, that's the enemy's biggest thing. You're no good. You're rubbish. Call yourself a Christian. You've done that. Always those guilt and shame. But God has forgiven us. Wiped the slate clean. And we can daily have a new start with him. So we need to learn to overcome those things. Our imagination has received all sorts of images that sometimes make it hard to actually see what God is trying to show us because our imagination is all confused. Same with our reason. We have mindsets that have been established because of what we've learned through the world. And then Jesus comes along, starts to show us different things, and we struggle between these two sorts of mindsets. God's saying one thing, our own mindset is telling us something different, then we have this sort of battle and confusion. But we can deal with those things. There are lies. Things we've believed for all our life because someone said something. You're no good. You'll never make it. You're rubbish. Those lies have been fed into our lives at times. And we've believed them and we act out of them. Now, you guys who are working on recovery right now, you have to deal with some of these things, these belief systems that you got about yourself, what people have said about you. Because as you learn to realize what God says about you, you have a power that flows from the inside out that enables you to overcome anything. And it's true for all of us. We've all got things to overcome, but the overcoming doesn't start from the outside. It starts from the inside, and we get changed as we surrender and allow God to touch us. So everything flows from the inside out. Our emotions have been damaged often by hurt, rejection. People have let us down, betrayed us, done things that have hurt us, and therefore we feel those emotions still until we learn how to forgive people, how to be healed and whole, and all that is part of this process of the river of life, because the river of life is the source of healing. The river of life is the source of knowledge. The river of life is the source of truth. The river of life is the source of everything that can transform our lives and change the world that we live in. But there's a major place to find along the way. It's the garden of our heart. As I said earlier, when God started things off, he had a garden in heaven. And then he planted a garden on earth, and those gardens were connected. And then he wanted that garden on earth to go and take over the whole earth and fill the earth with the revelation of that garden, the truth of that garden, because that's where he walked with Adam and Eve. That's where relationship took place. Now, in a spiritual sense within us, we have a garden in our heart. Now, when I first engaged this on my journey, all I had in my garden, and to start with, I didn't even realize there was a garden, but I had these experiences where I sat down on a swing. There was a tree and a swing and a little bench, and God would either sit on the bench and we would sit there and we would talk. Or I'd be on this swing and he'd be pushing me. And we'd just be talking, he'd be sharing things. And all there was this little patch of grass. Because I'd never cultivated the garden of my own heart. Now, the parable of the sower says that the heart has different sorts of soil. Hard soil, that's been crushed and pressed down, which means it's very difficult to receive truth. There's weedy soil that's full of the cares and troubles of the world. And there's stony soil, full of memories that remind us of our past. But of course, God wants to come and remind us of our future, our destiny that he's already prepared for us. So we have to learn to cultivate that. Now in my garden, I've got trees. I have the green pasture that it talks about in Psalm 23, that he makes us lie down in green pastures. There's the quiet waters of the river of life that flow through my garden. I've learned to cultivate it and plant seeds that produce trees, and therefore they become the testimonies that I can go back to within the garden of my heart. There are all sorts of things there. And we need to learn to engage that garden, grow it, tend it, cultivate it, because it says in Proverbs that from our heart flow the issues of life. Life flows out of there. And so if that garden is not tended and cultivated, the life that flows out of it can be confused. But if it's cultivated and good soil and we plant good things there and we look after our heart, then out flows the source of life. So there is a garden there. But there are four chambers of the heart, not just one. And so there are four places that we're going to go on this journey that's going to take us into a deeper intimacy with God and change and transform our life as we engage in them. And they're the dance floor, the soaking room, and the bridal chamber. And I've experienced all of those, and we're going to experience them on this journey. The dance floor is where the presence of God comes around us and the light of God's DNA, because God is light and he has 9 strands of DNA, they begin to engage with us. And it actually begins to encode our DNA and release what his eternal destiny is in us. And then there's the soaking room, where the fragrances and the oils and the frequencies and the sounds of God and the colors of God begin to come around us and they begin to transform our lives. And we'll go into how we engage the frequency of healing and wholeness. And there are certain frequencies, even in music, that can bring healing. There are certain fragrances and fragrant oils called essential oils that actually can bring healing and wholeness, because they will transform us, but we have to learn how to do that. And then ultimately there's this place called the bridal chamber where there is intimacy, where this unity and oneness with God takes place. And in those places we will engage and learn how that will help us be transformed, changed from the inside out, so that we can be who God created us to be. Everything flows around so that we can engage that pathway of relationship. Now, as we deal with our soul and we deal with those gateways in a soul, our soul and spirit become one. Often they compete with one another to start with. It says the flesh and the spirit, they're sort of in a battle. But as our soul learns about the presence of God and experiences God, it won't be looking from the outside in to meet its needs. It will find all the needs of the soul for love, affirmation, affection, encouragement, those things that are built into us to need, acceptance. Those things will come from a flow of God. Then we won't need them from the world around us. Therefore, we can be safe and secure and find that place of peace and rest. So everything flows out of there. And on this journey, we will learn all these things. Now, it doesn't stop there, because we've got a body which houses our soul and spirit. And that body is what we engage the world around us with. So we have physical senses as well. But most of our physical senses have, again, been primed and trained from the outside in. So I learned to see with light coming into my eye and then being transformed along the optic nerve as electrical signals in my brain. Now, over the years, I've learned to spatially be aware of where I am and what's going on by interpreting what I see. So I'm looking at you with my natural eyes and I can see that you're a certain distance away from me because I've learned what distance is. Everything was learned. We can relearn to have those spiritual senses and sight to flow from the inside so we can see the things that God is showing us. And sometimes those things get superimposed over the natural realm so that when we look at this realm, we can begin to see things in the spirit. Sometimes you see pictures over people or labels over people or things that are going on as the Holy Spirit engages us in it. And we can learn to see in that realm from the inside out. And same with all the other touch senses. Because when we touch something, we've learned to interpret whether it's hot or cold or hard or soft by experience. So when we learn to allow the power of God to flow through us, like it did with Jesus, it can flow out and we can touch people from what's on the inside with the power of God. The power of God can heal, transform, deliver as we lay hands on people. What's on the inside, coming from our spirit, can touch what's on the outside and change it. So we have the power to change things here, just like Jesus did. He multiplied food. He had the power to walk on water because what was on the inside took control of what was on the outside. And we are going to learn how to do those things on this journey. Now, the ultimate is that it engages the world around us, that we create an atmosphere around us of the Spirit that brings blessing to people, that brings love to people, that people can feel the presence of God because the presence of God is flowing around us. And the first realm that we begin to look into around us is the realm of the Holy Spirit. Because the Holy Spirit wants to communicate to us that which he understands that's around us. So around us, the Holy Spirit uses gifts to show us things. But we've got to look to engage in that realm. And so words of knowledge or words of wisdom is where the Holy Spirit tells us about something or someone that we can see. Prophetic words, the Holy Spirit tells us something about the future, about someone's life, or sometimes about the past, to help us help them. So we'll learn to look into that realm. But there's another unseen realm around us, which I would call the personal, our personal atmosphere. It's what we're giving off. Now, sometimes people pick up what sort of mood we're in. You know, sometimes by our body language, and sometimes just by stuff we're giving off. it's like a smell. Sometimes that can be a very fragrant smell and people want to come close to us. Sometimes it stinks. You know, we call it stinking attitudes. People just pick it up and they don't like really around to be around stinking attitudes unless they've got a stinking attitude as well, and they can form two stinking attitudes. And often that happens. And so someone who's carrying a miserable cloud, miserable people flock together and wallow in their misery. But God actually wants us to create an atmosphere of love and joy and peace, which draws people to that and helps people engage in that. And in that realm is the realm of our personal angels, because we have personal angels that have been assigned to us to guard and protect and help us. Little children often can see them, but we can learn to see them. We can learn to see those personal angels and engage with them, and we will on this journey. We can learn to know their names, and we can learn to assign them to help in our daily lives, because they are ministering spirits sent to us, the heirs of salvation, to minister for us and to us. Jesus, it said, had access to 12 legions of angels, which I think was somewhere around 8,000. So quite a lot. Two is good. 8,000 is even better, because you can do lots with 8,000 angels. But we've never really learned these things, because no one ever told us. We never really experienced it. But on this journey, we're going to experience that. And then also around us, there is another realm of the atmosphere of the spirit, if you like, the atmosphere of the unseen. And in that atmosphere, there are angels, there are demons, there are things that we will learn to see and learn how to deal with that realm, overcome it, operate in authority in it, because that will again change that. And that also affects the atmosphere of the earth around us. And there are things we're going to learn about that as well. Okay. So basically our spirit, with the presence of God, when we yield that, we have a throne, and our throne is takes us one way. Okay. That living water and that river of life is coming out of heaven. So on this pathway of relationship, we can actually step into heaven. Because in Revelation 4:1, which follows Revelation 3:20, where we were invited to open the door of our life to let God out, he says, come up here. So we can come and follow that river back through the veil. Now, when Adam and Eve originally sinned, remember God placed some cherubim, which were angels, big dudes, with there also a fiery sword, which was another angelic being, to guard the way back. Now, Jesus came to open that way up for us to go back to where we can walk with God in his garden. So we get access to go back into Eden. And that's part of that journey. We're going to go back into Eden, which is in the realm of heaven, and we're going to follow the river of life. And when you get in the river of life there, it's similar to what it's like inside, but it's different. There's a whole different dimension to it. And there are things in that river to discover. And as we get in that source of life, it's thicker. It's like by the time it's come from the throne of God and come through the realms of heaven and come into us, it's somewhat thinned out. But it's still flowing. But it's thicker there and it feels different there. But there's a wonderful place there. It's a waterfall. And so this river comes cascading down on the mountain of God, because God's place in heaven is like a mountain. Mount Zion, it's called. His throne is on the top of that mountain. There are rooms in that mountain. There are plateaus on that mountain. It's a fantastic place. We can explore that mountain. And this is how we can explore it, by following the river of life. So we can go up the waterfall. Now in heaven, all our senses are different. We operate by thought, the power of our conscious thought. So we can think and be there. Now sometimes you can walk and you can explore and you can have fun. And that's great. But sometimes you need to get somewhere quicker, so you just think and you go. But we'll learn how to do that. First time I went up a waterfall, I couldn't go up it. My mind wouldn't let me go up the waterfall, because in this realm, you don't go up waterfalls, you go down them. And I was struggling with my mind because it was blocking me going up. So an angel had to take me up, until eventually I realized that those laws of physics don't apply in heaven as they do here. They operate differently. And so in heaven, everything is alive. And everything has so many more senses than just our five. So everything flows. Everything has fragrance and color and life and emotion. Even the grass and even the things you walk on are living and active. And it's a wonderful place to go. So going up that waterfall is awesome. Now, what I found at that waterfall, there's a path. And you can walk along that path, and that path takes you to a bridge. And Jesus is often standing on that bridge. Now, on the other side of that bridge, crossing the river, is God's garden, the Father's garden, his intimate place. You know, kings didn't stay on their throne all the time. They got off. They're off like the rest of us. They often spent their time in gardens. Hence, you had things like the Hanging Gardens of Babylon. Kings had special places, which are gardens. God has a special place, which is a garden. And he invites us to come. But you can't go into that garden carrying stuff. So Jesus wants you to offload all your burdens and all your things that you're carrying so you can walk across that bridge and go into the garden of God. I've had the most amazing experiences and encounters in that garden. Wonderful, wonderful places where I have felt connected to the whole of creation and the universe and felt like I was just floating. All my atoms went out. I felt peace in a level of floating in the presence of the Father. There's also a pool in there. I found in this pool that I had a revelation of God's thoughts about me. And there's a waterfall that comes out of that pool that goes and joins up with the river of life. There's also a mountain in there, a golden mountain, and so many other things that you will probably find that you will relate to heaven and these things uniquely according to who you are. And God will have a special way of communicating what this is like. As we go on this journey, it will be very personal and real to every individual person. Because he wants us to experience him, and he's created us to experience him, and he wants to reveal that. Now, coming out of the Father's garden, there are loads of waterfalls and loads of pools coming down. And I've found there's revelation in those pools. When I've gone into those pools in heaven, I've had a deeper revelation of something that God wanted to reveal. And we can go to those waterfalls and we can go to those pools and you can experience them yourself. And you might be thinking right now, how on earth am I going to do that? Well, we're going to start in base camp. And we're going to learn to engage our spirit. And so our spirit can take us to these places. Because our spirit has access to the realms of the spirit and the realms of heaven. Now, there's another place on that river of life, the tree of life. You can read about it in Revelation 22. It's a wonderful place. It has fruit that's always in season. It has leaves that are like scrolls that have revelation and healing and wholeness in them. Each of the fruit tastes differently, looks differently. We can experience that fruit. It's a wonderful, wonderful place. There's also the throne of grace. Now, in Hebrews 4:16, it says, come boldly to the throne of grace so we can receive help, mercy in time of need. So if you've got particular needs, you need to go to the source. Because traditionally, all that means for people is, well, I pray, and God listens on his throne and he answers my prayers, sometimes, if I'm lucky. But the reality is, we can go to the throne of grace. We can come boldly, with confidence, it means, to his throne. And on that throne, there is a wonderful place. because you feel the heartbeat of God. Often he's picked me up and he's placed me on his lap on that throne. Because this is not the throne that you read about in Revelation 4, 5, you know, where the thunder and lightning is. This is the throne of God, which he's made available for me to come and find his divine ability, his divine power, his grace and mercy to help in any situation in my life. I can go there and I can follow this pathway and I can literally come to that throne and receive everything that God wants to help me every day. But if we never go there, how are we going to receive that? So God is establishing these things so we can go personally and we can experience these things in reality. They're not just theoretical things in the Bible that we pray and we hope God hears. No, we go and we speak to him and we share our deepest needs, the deepest things that we have going on the inside. We can go to that throne of grace, sit on his lap, and he'll listen to us. And we can feel his heart for us, and it can empower us and strengthen us to engage and flow from that place in our daily lives. Because this is not about a theoretical thing, oh, we're going on this journey. This is about everyday living. This is every day the source of life is in me and becomes available to me. But I have to learn how to engage it in reality. And there's one other place that I've encountered here on this pathway, and I'm sure there are other places that you're going to encounter. You can feed them back and this map will grow. But I've encountered the judgment seat of God. And I've found that that's where the scroll of my life, what I've done, that contains symbolically, the Bible says, gold, silver, and precious stones, for all those things I've done in the will of God and outworking his will for me, and wood, hay, and stubble, which are all the things I did in my own strength for my own motives and reasons. You can go and you can see that scroll, see your scroll of destiny and see whether they fit, and get all that wood, hay, and stubble just burnt with fire to give us a fresh start and more capacity for God. That was the first time when I went there that led me down the waterfall into the garden of God. I've never went down there before. I was somewhat reticent when I looked at this massive waterfall. How can I go down there? But I stepped off and floated down into the garden of God after I'd been in to see my scroll and front and back had that purified and refined by fire. And these things are available for all of us. We don't have to wait till we die to get into heaven. It's open to us now, as it was open to Jesus. He learned to live there and live here at the same time. And God wants to teach us in relationship with him to live here and in heaven at the same time and see heaven affect how we live here and affect us transforming the world, subduing, overcoming as sons to manifest God. Now, this is a pathway. Now, if you follow a pathway, it becomes well trodden, if you like. Sometimes you can walk out on the cliffs and you can walk out on the hills and you can see where people have walked because they followed the pathway and they've treaded it down and trodden down the ferns or whatever, and it becomes a pathway that other people can follow. So this is a pathway that I've learned to develop in my life because I've gone over it and over it and over it. It's now a pathway that belongs to me. I can go to any of these places instantly by thought, by activating and stepping in my spirit, because I've trodden that path. Now, as you tread that path in your own life, it will become a pathway for you as well. But you have to keep walking on it. You have to keep going. You don't just go once and think, oh, that's it, done that, got the t-shirt and the hat, everything's all right. You keep doing it because it has to become a lifestyle. Not just an experience. And that lifestyle is the lifestyle of the kingdom. It's the lifestyle of the sons of God, the children of God, that we can walk with him, can have intimacy with him. So let's just activate that simply for a few minutes now. What I'd encourage you to do is just close your eyes. As usual, just activate your imagination by thinking about that place in your life where God is. If God isn't in you, you can just ask him simply to come into your life right now by faith, to follow him as a disciple and get on this journey and on this pathway in your own life. Simple, you just have to surrender. So just begin to think of that doorway that has a handle on your side. Think of the presence of God, his glory, being on the other side of that door. And just begin to picture that door in your imagination. You can use a door that you've seen before, but just picture the door. And just reach out and just open that door and just allow the presence of God to come around you. Just allow his love to envelop you. You may engage with the Father or with Jesus or the Holy Spirit. You'll learn they have distinct personalities. Just allow the presence of God to touch you deeper and deeper as he reveals his love for you, as he brings you to that place of peace. I just sense that that river, the river of life, is flowing from that open door. You can kneel down and you can drink. You can cup your hands. You can drink deeply of that living water, that source of life. Feel it just flowing in you, giving you spiritual energy, life. You can walk deeper into that river. You can lie in that river. You can experience what it is for that river to be flowing in you and through you. Just drink that living water. Just let Jesus become the source of your life. Just feel it. Just activate all your senses. You may feel it in your emotions. You may picture it in your mind. It may be just an impression that you're feeling. You may see it clearly. Just drink that living water. For those of you who've never done this before, just picture that throne, the seat of government of your life in your spirit. And just invite Jesus to sit on that throne. Surrender. Give him complete control of your life. Become a disciple to follow him on this journey. Just see him sit. See the smile on his face. Feel the pleasure of his heart. Now just see that there's a throne there for you. You sit down. In the place of rest, a place of peace. You're a friend of God. He reveals his plans and purposes to friends. Just see what he wants to reveal to you, about your life, about your identity, of who you are. Just let him speak gently. Let him reveal deeper things about you. Sense the joining of your hearts, joining of your lives together. Should be joined to the Lord, becoming one spirit with him, his life flowing into your life, his thoughts flowing into your thoughts, his truth filling you with faith, with hope, with expectation. For those of you who are familiar with this pathway, you can step and follow the path that you've prepared. You may want to flow back into the realms of heaven. For those of you who want to just stay where you are, just sensing the peace, that total rest, being one with him. Experiencing him. Just looking around the room in the spirit. You can just see the angels. Just dancing. Rejoicing, because they rejoice when we come into intimacy with God. Your angels around you rejoicing that you've taken this step on the journey. This is where, from a place of peace, we can follow that river. For some, it's a wild ride, an exciting experience as the life of God flows through us and around us. Just make this a daily encounter with the living God. Daily, drinking living water, connected to the source of life, the power to overcome, power to be victorious, to conquer, the power flowing to transform spirit, soul, and body, emotional, spiritual, physical healing and wholeness. That starts from the source, flowing out of heaven, the garden of God, flowing into our spirit, flowing through our spirit, soul, and body. Okay, these are just tasters of what it is that we can experience in fullness. So I'd encourage you to practice these things on a daily basis and just enjoy getting to know God at a deeper level and enjoy His presence both within and also within His realm in heaven. Amen.